This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's another Friday night here on Tech Vibe Radio, bringing you the best of Pittsburgh's tech sector, entrepreneurial scene, and everything in between.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So, Audrey.
And it's the month of March.
Which means?
Well, the March Madness, you mean?
Well, we call it March Madness, but
I've been trying to celebrate Women's History, Herstory Month.
They're calling it Herstory.
Herstory.
Yeah, I like that.
So, through social media, trying to call out some of the women who have been doing some incredible things for Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
For innovation.
Okay.
Maybe behind the scenes. I did a shout out to my assistant, Sandra.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Because I can't do my work alone.
No, exactly. That's fantastic.
So
let's talk about some of these shout outs then.
Well, some of the shout outs that I've done have been Alana Diamond.
We love Alana.
And Alana Diamond has taken a little bit of a hiatus in Israel right now.
Right.
But she's still got her finger on the pulse on what's happening here.
Absolutely.
And Alana runs Alpha Lab Gear. And she also, ran a company for a while before that. So she's very active in the innovation community, particularly in hardware and software. I did a shout out to Deb Ackland. She's the CEO of WQED.
Yeah.
And it's exciting times because this is Mr. Rogers' 50th anniversary, right, of his show. So there's a lot of people still wearing cardigans and taking their shoes off and putting their slippers on. And reminiscing, actually, there have been some really interesting excerpts about him probably 40 years ago going to Washington talking about the importance of public radio, television.
Right.
And I didn't realize how much he had gotten involved in public policy.
Me either.
Shout out to Leah, who's been on our show before and a friend of the Tech Council of 412 Food Rescue.
She's like, I'm calling her like the sixth stone of Tech Vibe Radio.
She might be. She might be the sixth stone.
Because when she's on the phone, she's just too much fun.
412 Food Rescue.
Yeah.
So she's been doing some interesting stuff, including taking it to 724.
I know.
And I wouldn't be surprised if she takes quite a few more area codes.
Absolutely.
That's using the food that's not yet rotten, but waste, and delivering it to where it needs to be delivered by those people who don't get access to that kind of food.
Exactly.
So that's really interesting.
This last issue of TEQ that just came out, we did a nice focus on women in tech.
Oh, you did?
We did. Antoinette Murphy?
Right.
Tony from Comcast has been on the show.
Tony Murphy from Comcast.
She's amazing.
Quite committed to ensuring leadership in women and diversity.
Absolutely. She sang for us, too.
She did.
She's got quite the set of pipes on.
I love that.
I know.
She really does have the set of pipes.
I was like, whoa, you can sing. She's I was on American Idol. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I know. Isn't that fabulous?
Just saying.
Who else did we give shout-outs in TEQ to?
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what. Vanessa Jameson from Duolingo.
She's a head of engineering there.
I think, it was fun in that story. We were looking at women working at all different levels throughout tech. So we also had Emily Mercurio from Civic Mapper. She's got a startup where they do geo-mapping, and she's been growing that with her husband and some other folks into a really cool little company. And Peg Malady from All Lines Technology as well, too. It was really fun for us. And for me, it was like one of the things where it's like, we want to focus on everything going on in Pittsburgh's tech sector, but sometimes it's fun to take a step back and just kind of concentrate on one area, and especially looking at some of the great contributions that women have been making to our tech sector, because there's so many out there that have their sleeves rolled up working hard, and we like being able to recognize that, because they're not in it for the glory, they're in it because they just want to innovate and build cool companies,
have the wherewithal and fortitude to do things that are not for the weak. Building innovation in tech is not for the weak. Building a company,
I can't
taking
even
an
imagine.
Idea
absolutely
taking an idea and bringing it to fruition is not for the weak.
And many of these women, that's not their only job. They're raising a family at the same time, too, which I think is always amazing to be able to balance all that together. I think
now we're going to get into the conversation of why do they have so much of that responsibility?
Exactly.
Right. But, you know, it's not just women. I mean, people come in all different shapes and sizes, and people are same gender marriages and relationships.
Right.
It's some of the burden that continues to exist, but anything that we can do to try to make sure that at least our world and our ecosystem is cognizant of what people are working on so that they can help, they can buy, they can connect them to customers, they can give them exposure.
Exactly.
And it's always fascinating. I've moderated a couple of panels in the month of March around, you know, International Women's Day, women's issues, and it's amazing to hear what women still talk about in terms of what their obstacles are.
Are you seeing the obstacles being the same, or are they different now, or a combination thereof?
I think it's a combination. I think what we're seeing is that there are less and less women that are going into science, technology, engineering, and math.
That just bums me out, because the pull's been to get more women into those fields. And when I'm hearing that there's less, I'm like, what's going on that's making that happen? That just sounds terrible to me.
Well, I mean, we can't solve that on this show.
If we could.
But we can certainly raise the level of awareness, ensure that people have conversations around this so that they know that achieving gender parity is really important, particularly in terms of not just the fact that women and men should have equal opportunities, but the fact that women have half the buying power.
Exactly.
And as you hear from many of the companies that we have on the show, women are buying half of their stuff.
Exactly.
Or they're consuming
right.
half of their stuff. So if you don't have women in leadership and you don't have women who are building these companies doing well, then perhaps we're missing out on many solutions.
Missing huge opportunity. You know, just huge amounts of insight. I mean, everything like that. So, yeah, I'm glad we're able to have those conversations here on the show and to do them in our magazine. The fact that you're taking, you know, parts of your day out and then tweeting and using social media as a way to draw recognition to some of the women in town that are doing great stuff. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky. I'm lucky.
It's one little step in helping this
right.
overall foundation we need to build here. So I think that's great.
I'm lucky I get to have a front row seat to see all the things that are happening around
Definitely.
Southwestern Pennsylvania.
Definitely.
And I know very often that it's the shiny star that often gets attention. And there are so many incredible people that are doing work that we just don't. Everyone has a story.
Exactly
and
right.
everyone has a dimension in terms of what they're providing. And I think that we're lucky, Jonathan, you and I, we get to use our platform to share those stories.
That's why I feel like I get to have way too much fun and feel way
I
too honored
too.
To be able to do the work that we do, because I think it's great stuff. Speaking of great stuff, we got some great guests stopping by today.
Oh, yeah.
We have Steve Bollinger from Renovum.
Can't wait to see what they're doing. I'm talking about helping women.
Exactly. He's helping couples conceive.
And I think on to something else that's very specific for
exactly.
women.
Exactly. He's going to be talking about that. And we also have Curtis Wadsworth from 310 Consulting. He's all about helping people with their IP. He's a former patent attorney, if I'm not mistaken, and still practices, but he has his own little consultancy. So it's always good to hear the latest and greatest. And, Audrey, I know you're very excited about this. We have the dynamic duo of the Founders Institute. Greg Katikia and Randy Eager. Haven't seen those guys in a while. I'm really excited to learn more about the Founders Institute and what they're doing here in Pittsburgh. I think it's cool stuff.
I think so, too.
I can't wait. Anyhow, I'm reminding everybody, CIO of the Year Awards, April 19th. It thing sells out every year. Oh, my goodness. We got some great, great finalists this year. Big night. Like 700 people show up.
It's a lot of fun.
Honor some of the best talent around CIOs and CISOs. So go to pghtech.org to learn more about that. And all the ways we like helping tech companies succeed. 35 years in the business of doing that. Just saying, Audrey, just saying, we hit the symbols there. I love it. Anyhow, learn more about us at pghtech.org. Go to Twitter at pghtech. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Welcome back, everybody. So glad you are hanging out with us this Friday night here on Tech Vibe Radio. We talk to the best and the brightest in Pittsburgh's tech sector. No doubt about it, Audrey.
So much fun.
Absolutely.
And we've got a fun guy in the house.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you.
Curtis.
Hey, Curtis.
Hello.
Curtis Wadsworth of 310 Consulting. What does 310 mean?
Yeah.
310 is actually a structural element of proteins.
Of proteins?
A 310 helix. Yeah.
I thought you were going to call it 420, and I have a different question for you.
Yeah. I get that all the time. They're like, so what zip code is that? Or area code is that?
And which drug felony is that?
Yeah. No. See, I'm targeting the super dorks.
Super
out there.
Dorks. I like the super dorks.
Whoa, I completely understand that.
Because
that logo, it looks like kind of concentric triangles.
Right.
So that's what my logo is. It's these kind of concentric.
It's a sharp logo, too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, you need some lawyerly advice?
I do. IP advice.
Everybody needs IP advice.
And that's what you're all about.
Everybody needs IP advice.
And nobody tells you that when you go to law school, but right. Afterwards, it's amazing.
Yeah. So you just started this thing up. Tell us about it real quick.
So I started in October.
Okay.
Basically, I left Pepper Hamilton. I'd been an associate there for a while. I worked there overall for 12 years.
Okay.
Kind of learning the ins and outs of IP. But I decided I wanted to focus on the startup community and in gotcha. Particular in Pittsburgh. So I left a big firm to kind of start my own thing to reduce overhead and improve kind of the cost.
Okay.
Of, you know, getting quality patent advice. So that's kind of the overarching goal.
It's like just bringing that expertise to the folks that necessarily can't, you know, work with a bigger firm because they're not at that level yet.
Right.
But they want to have access because the sooner you get in on that, the better it is. Right.
Right. I mean, I think that's the key is yeah. kind of starting out early. And
exactly.
I think that's one of the things, that's one of the places where some startups kind of miss the boat. Like you get kind of bad patent advice, right? But if you're in a tech area, a lot of times the patent is the value.
Right.
So you can really leverage quality patents for funding either from, you know, angel investors
right.
or VCs.
Because if that's not locked down, that can completely ruin your investment. I mean, you can literally from the get-go completely strangle yourself
right.
before even getting out of the blocks.
Yeah, and I've been in those
yeah,
meetings, right?
Where believe it.
Where we've done due diligence for a VC.
Okay.
We tell them about their patent portfolio. The CEO who's pitching the portfolio has an idea of what's in there. We actually look at it and it's not what's in there, right? So, and you
like
just
I got
see,
some bad news for yeah, you. It's not
the
quite
faces
in there.
In the room just turn.
They're like, uh oh,
yeah.
You can see the blood leave their body.
Yeah,
it's like oh.
So
boy.
The investors just kind of start looking around, and you just see everybody in the company just kind of.
But if they would have talked to you earlier on, that could have possibly been avoided.
Right, exactly, and well, I think that's part of the. Well, that's one of the things that I'm trying to avoid, right? And I think
right.
what happens a lot of times is when you talk to a big firm, right, the CEO talks to the partner, and they have this whole plan, right? But then the person who actually ends up doing the work is an associate who ends up talking to an inventor,
right?
So you develop this relationship with an inventor. The inventor has a different idea of what that IP should be than the kind of business side people. So there's this kind of disconnect. And I think what really helps companies as they get bigger is once you have an in-house counsel, they can kind of monitor that and keep an eye and act mm-hmm. as kind of the go-between between the business side and
right.
the legal side. The problem is, as a startup, especially early stage,
you never get an attorney.
You can never, ever do that. So that's one of the kind of things that I want to offer at 310 is not necessarily working as a full-time in-house counsel, but being kind of a concierge lawyer
on call.
Startup.
I got a
problem.
Yeah.
What kind of? So they could be like on a retainer.
Yeah.
So what? So when companies like our audience, who's listening to this now, what stage should they be at? What kind of company? I mean, there are many, many companies that have no IP and do amazing.
It's true.
So, what should people be thinking about?
Even
early stages, at the earliest stage of their ideation and the formulation of their companies when it comes to IP?
So when it comes to IP, there are two main things that you want to keep in mind, in my opinion. One
yeah.
is your product, right? And that may change as you get bigger.
It could be a service too, right?
Right. And you could be a service.
Right.
And your IP needs are going to change as you kind of tailor the product or, you know, even as a service, what kind of services you're offering. Right. So that's something to keep in mind. But you want to make sure that your IP covers at least that. The next level up is really taking what's in the market right? And finding out what your competitors are doing and how to, A, avoid their...
So do a scan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do a lot of searching. And that's
and
one of the things.
Tell us about the searching, because
really...
I was going to say, this is very unique to you. You've got this platform that really does an analysis of the landscape that's out there, which I think really sets you apart. So
right. And it makes contour maps.
Right. Actual contour maps.
Yeah. Actual contour maps of the patent landscape. So, yeah. And this is something I've been trying to do for a very, very long time. Excuse me. So as an associate, I was always trying to show people what the patent landscape looked like and how their portfolios kind of fit into that landscape. Because it's really kind of important to have that kind of picture in your head. At least it is for me.
Yeah, totally.
When I'm designing a portfolio. And I tried all sorts of different things. My favorite is the risk board where I...
The risk board.
Yeah,
nice.
I got a picture of a risk board and... basically put pieces on the risk board showing where the patent portfolios are. So your nearest competitor is yellow. So I'd have yellow armies in Russia. If
oh, you know. Wow.
And then nice. I'm like, so this is us. We are right now in Australia. So we're in a good place, but we need to start moving into these other territories if we're going to succeed because
I
these guys are
game.
Coming down from Russia. Yeah. And it was interesting because it got a lot of laughs in the meeting when I kind of delivered it. But I think it kind of hit home because people
right,
then asked
yeah.
questions about that afterwards. So what exactly is in this person's portfolio and how can we leverage our portfolio to get an advantage over them? Right. So those are the sorts of questions that I'm trying to answer. So over the summer, I started looking at various software packages for patent searching, and there are tons of those things out now. And I ran into a company in the UK, and they're actually kind of a startup. They've been around since 2007, but they just did their Series D financing, and they have a lot of people who are really interested in kind of building a great product and that sort of thing. So I started talking to them, and they actually have developed, they started from the beginning, right? So they took the kind of initial search, word searching, and that sort of thing. And then they added on top of that this kind of big data analysis where like people that grind through data, this is what they're doing, right? So they're kind of sorting things in different ways and then trying to figure out how to visualize that so you can see lots of data in a very quick and concise way.
Absolutely.
And that's basically what they did by sorting things out differently.
So you're bringing that functionality to your clients then.
Yeah.
Very cool. So we got a couple minutes left. People learn more about 3TEN. Where can they go and check you out?
Oh, they can go on my website.
Absolutely.
It is 310consulting.com.
Okay.
And it's THREE 10.
10?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Consulting.
Very cool.
I was trying to be cool, and it turns out that is a real mistake because nobody can get it right.
It's like, oh, man.
So now I just have to buy the 310
yeah, I was gonna say,
domain might... too and link it somewhere.
Just get your
you
bases
some
covered.
Help.
Yeah.
Well, I always need a little help, right?
We know a lawyer that would help you out.
Exactly.
But no, I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing because that's what our ecosystem needs. We need to have men and women like you who've got your type of knowledge accessible. So that way, in the very beginning stages, people can make the right move so that they're set up for success a couple years down the line.
But
and that's where you come
that,
into play.
He's hilarious.
And he's hilarious.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we like hanging out with you, man. It's a good time. So we need to have you come back on Tech Vibe Radio to keep us updated.
I am happy to come back anytime.
Stuff like that. So 310 Consulting, Curtis Wadsworth, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
Fantastic
thank
stuff.
You.
Hey, we're coming right back after this quick break. I absolutely swear, bringing you the best of Pittsburgh's technology sector. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. You can learn more about us by going to pghtech.org. Nerd out there about 35 years of us helping technology companies succeed. Nothing's finer than hanging out with Tech Vibe Radio on a Friday night. Audrey, come on, man.
Jonathan.
Just saying.
And I love the topic that we're going to dive into.
I know. It's been a long time since we've talked to Steve Ballinger here from Renewable.
I've been busy. We've been busy.
And, yeah, you've been helping people get busy.
We yeah. keep people busy. We keep people happy. What else could you ask for on a Friday, right?
Exactly.
Yes. Give the pitch of what you've been working on.
So Renovum has been working on two things. One is the Stork product. It's launched internationally as well as in the United States. We're in Target, Walgreens, CVS, and growing quite well. We're bridging the gap between natural intercourse and more aggressive treatments like IUI and IVF. So what we've done is we've kind of nudged the stork, and we're doing it in the privacy of the couple's home. So if a man can use a condom and a female can use a tampon, they can actually increase their chances of conception. And we've done a lot of local research here out of Forbes Hospital. We finished a study there with Dr. Michael Pelikanos, and we were able to show that our device created a 323% increase in sperm count and sperm score compared to natural intercourse, trying to get those swimmers to the right spot at the right time.
That sounds very targeted to me.
I know, right? We did that recently, and now we're just finished, again, locally and as well as in many centers throughout the United States, a study on stress urinary incontinence for women. So to step back, Renovum, we're really just focused on empowering women to take that next step in healthcare. I know we're all getting limited healthcare resistance. So what our whole philosophical approach to medicine is, can we take medically proven approaches that were once only under physician's care or prescription, and now take it and empower women to do that in the privacy of their own home? So the Stork is our first product to do that.
And now, Stork is available.
The Stork is available.
And it's been out for a while,
too. It's available Walgreens, CVS, Target. It's in Europe. It's in the UK. It's in the major retailers there. It's in Australia. So we've been around the globe, and we're growing quite consistently. We doubled sales since last year.
Globally helping children be born.
We are out of the 13 people here out of Pittsburgh,
with 13
right?
people
I know
out of Pittsburgh.
That's crazy.
We have a small little team, and we continually to innovate and grow. And I think our team is almost I think it's 60-40 females, right? Okay. So the majority of my company is a really strong women based organization.
Nothing wrong with that,
which actually gives us that creative edge. Right, allows us to really listen to our population, not only internally, but of course externally.
Wow, only 13 people?
I know, right? We're going to grow, and we're continue to grow every year. But we go into incontinence, we expect probably double in the next 24 months or so or less.
Well, first let's talk about the Stork.
Yes.
And the fact that the problem that you were solving.
One out of every six couples worldwide, internationally, United States, are deemed infertile. Women and couples are now trying to have children later on in life. And that process has caused infertility to grow. So everybody knows someone having a problem.
Right.
Well, it used to be always thought about as just the female, you know, it's all their fault.
Right.
Today, we know for a fact it's, you know, 33% a male. 33% female, and 33% basically unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Combination
those numbers,
thereof,
yeah, in
right?
that ballpark
yeah.
of those numbers, right, of course. So it's interesting that we have taken a technology to say, listen, on the female side, listen, as we age, we are less fertile, right? From the female perspective, a perfect female at age 25 has a 25% chance per month of conception. So 4 months... You know, of trying, you're likely to conceive,
hit something, right? Okay.
But the challenge is, as the female gets older, as she hits the age of 30, she goes down to a 15% chance, 35, 10. And by the time she hits 40,
yeah.
she has a 5% chance per month of conception.
Wow.
So it's a young person's sport, but we've all shifted
exactly.
our age of trying to get pregnant later on in life.
I love
right?
it.
On the male side, bless our hearts, you know, we think that we're Superman,
yeah, we
right?
We can you're fertile at 90.
And we are, but we're not as fertile, right? the male sperm count over the last, there's a huge report done in 2014 showing that the male sperm count has dropped by 30%.
Huh.
30% sperm count drop. So if the male has low sperm and the female is harder to conceive,
right.
you mix those together. We went from in the 1960s, 1 in 20 couples. Today, we're now down to 1 in 6 couples
That's
are having a problem.
Impressive. Hence the need
so
for
the
your
product.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible, right?
Wow.
So the challenge is when intercourse is no longer for fun, but for propagation and building a family.
Right.
You flip a switch and you say, okay, I want to have an October baby, a November baby. And all these statistics don't exist in your world, right? You don't think about it. All you hear about is, listen, if I snuggle too much, I might get pregnant, like mom and dad used to tell us, mm-hmm. right? So now we step back and say, okay, what do we do to help these couples? Well, under physician's care, they really don't do much for the first year of monitoring. They'll monitor right. you and say, hang in there, kiddo, right. keep practicing, right? right? And then they'll slowly integrate techniques and medicine to support it. So what we did was say, listen, when you want to build that family and you're ready, you know, we need to know when you're ovulating. So get a good ovulation predictor kit and then bring the stork in, because the stork can reduce those odds, right. get a higher concentration of sperm next to the cervix.
Concentrate the guys and put them right on target.
Put them on target.
Concentrates the sperm.
Right. It puts the highest, you know, without it leaking out and going anywhere. So it's really kind of simple, right? It's called cervical cap insemination, but we've made it so couples can now do it at home and in the privacy.
Rather than going
to a doctor's office.
Better than going to a hospital for that, huh?
So men are complicated, right? You know, and females begin interacting with physicians at age 13. They have a relationship. By the time they're 22, 23, 30, they tell their physician, hey, here's what's wrong with me. Here's what drugs work. Here's what drugs don't work. They have a real strong communication. On the male's perspective, listen, we don't really have a lot of proactive things until we hit about 35 and we have our first prostate exam. So from our perspective, we really don't have that relationship with a physician. So when a female says, hey, my OBGYN says you need to get your sperm tested or sampled, they freak out, right? They're thinking of physicals, cough and cold, broken bones, things of that sort, stereotypically. So the stork kind of can keep that process in the privacy of the couple's home, and they could try. We have huge success rates. We've had wonderful, you know, it's so great to wake up every morning, come into the office, and the first thing we hear from customer service is another happy family.
Do you have like pictures on your walls of all these kids that have been born?
You know, we can't do that anymore. We started that awesome, out, but we don't have the wall space for that. But we do enjoy the robustness of when people are trying to conceive, we're actually able to help them bridge this gap. And a lot of them, they disappear, right? They buy the product. They get pregnant and they disappear. They don't want to jinx anything. Right. And we hear almost a year later of the success stories, and we love the ones that come back and say, hey, doctor said we don't have much luck. We're not going to have a chance to conceive. They wouldn't do IVF on me because of this, that, and the other thing. And they try to stork one or two times, maybe three times. Right. And we get that success story back. And then they come back and say, we want to buy more because we want to have our second child.
Jeez.
So we are really excited about what we've had an impact in families.
And saving money and stress.
You know,
it's not the most conducive thing to go into a doctor's office.
No. IUI and IVF, assisted reproduction for IVF now is on about $10,000.
I was going to say, it's really, really pricey. I mean,
it is. And there's a need for that. There are certain indications that the stork can't help. If I block fallopian tubes or the male has no sperm count, there's things that we can't control. We nudge the stork. We try to take the natural aspects of
just make it better.
Making it better.
Target. We're talking to Steve Bollinger from Renovum. What's your website so people can learn more about you?
It's storkotc.com or renovum.com.
It's so cool that you've been developing this here in Pittsburgh with 13 people on your team and helping couples around the world achieve their family dreams.
Absolutely.
And so now you have something else, quote unquote, in the hopper.
Yeah, we have been blessed in looking at challenges in women's health. And one of the things is, it's interesting, after you have this healthy, wonderful baby, about 10 years later, you know, a female will notice every time she coughs, sneezes, or dances, she has a little bit of leakage, right? And it's not wonderful, right? About 18 million women in the United States have a problem with incontinence.
Like what age range?
Anywhere between 25 and 70.
Wow.
It really depends.
And so this is a pretty massive market for you guys to be attacking.
It's a very big marketplace.
And something people don't talk about.
No, it's not something you want to talk about. Yeah. Even pregnancy is
isn't it funny?
Sometimes you just want to keep to yourself.
I'm in another area of privacy, but everyone knows about it. I mean, you can go to a coffee or tea, an event, and someone sneezes, they cross their legs, you go, I know what's wrong. I may know what's wrong with them, right?
I may know what's wrong.
Everything out there on the marketplace today is pad collection, right? Hey,
right.
Put a pad in, just right. like menstrual flow. I will put a pad in for urine flow, right?
Right.
The challenge is that that's just not comfortable throughout the day. So what we said is, what if we could put some form of technology inside and move that forward? And we just finished our clinical study. We'll be submitting that to the Food and Drug Administration not too long. And from there, we'll be in the market again.
That's what a great story. And you're doing this here in Pittsburgh with a small but yet growing team. So if people want to learn more, you said Renovum.com?
Yes, Renovum.com.
Just that simple.
That's simple.
I just love it, Steve. I know. We're so glad there are men and women like you here in Pittsburgh building these kinds of
companies. I'm glad for my team, and I'm glad for Pittsburgh's support. A lot of this is supported by Pittsburgh. We are so embraced by our community.
Very much so.
Great.
Great, great stuff. Hey, we're taking a quick break, but we are coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear. Just reminding everybody, the CIO of the Year Awards is right around the corner on April the 19th. Go to pghtech.org to learn more about that. This is Jonathan Kirshning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Also, follow us on Twitter at PGH Tech. Sometimes it's just way too much fun to do Tech Vibe Radio when you're hanging out with, like, friends and family. And that's what we got coming up right now. Like, no strangers to Tech Vibe Radio, Audrey.
Are these your friends and your family?
A little bit of both, you know. We kind of mix it all together, and we just say, hey, if we wanted to, we could all drink beers together. But instead, we just do the show. You know, if we could do the show plus drink some beers, then we'd be having some fun. But Greg Katiki there brought his Dunkin' Donuts tea with him there. So,
I know.
You know,
that's
just as well.
It. That's my favorite.
Absolutely, Greg.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tea from Dunkin'?
Forbes Avenue. They know me. I walk in and they just, it's ready.
It's ready. Well, like, here's your tea, Mr. Katiki.
I don't have to pre-order anything.
None of this.
I say, here it is.
It's like ready to go. Absolutely.
They know I can.
Okay,
I'll
it's a barista.
If I... I'll Twitter complain if they don't have it.
Twitter complain, yeah. Tweet out how much you hate it.
Tweet out, bad service again.
Exactly.
Okay.
Dunkin' Donuts. So Greg, you've been on Tech Vibe on to promote many different things over the years. Now you got something new. You're hanging out with Randy Eager over here as part
of the
Founders Institute. So, Randy, thanks for stopping out and hanging out with us and Greg and everybody.
It's great to see
like
you guys
that.
Again.
Likewise, man. So, the Founders Institute, this is just spinning up in Pittsburgh.
It is.
What? Tell our listeners, what is the Founders Institute?
So, Founder Institute... the Pittsburgh chapter of the Founder Institute is one of 170 chapters around the world, over 60 countries now, and it is a pre-idea accelerator.
Okay.
So what is that? So we work on helping people to become great founders. We also launch companies along the way, but it really is all focused on helping 30 or 40 individuals become good founders. It is a two and a half month
course. We all need.
Definitely.
It is. It really is. And it I think it addresses a clear white space in just any community. And Randy and I were very careful about thinking about bringing this to Pittsburgh and spend a lot of time in the due diligence of looking at it.
Definitely.
To make sure that there was a fit and a need here. And we've been really, really excited about the fit in the community and the uptake so far has been really terrific.
Well, can we just dig a little bit deeper on that in terms of founder sort of learning and founder behavior?
Sure. It turns out that most of the people that are applying, we do have an open application time right now. And the people that have been applying are all in the, I would say, 30-something, 40-something
really?
Age.
Yeah.
It isn't students.
It isn't college students, huh. No.
But they have an idea for a company or the company has already kind of been started and they want to make sure that they get it off on the right foot.
They're right in that sort of ticklish area where they've been thinking about doing something.
Ah, that is ticklish.
But they don't know how to start.
I like to say that they're like the 30, as Randy said, 30 to 55, 60-year-old who has a side hustle or, you know, they started and hey, is this a real thing? Should I spend more time on it? Should I invest in this? Is this a real gig? Could I blow a business out of this? You know?
Gotcha.
Or I've always had this idea and always wanted to pursue it.
Okay.
And I wasn't really sure where to take it to see if I can do it, if it's a good idea, et cetera. So you kind of match those needs. And really, if you think about it, no one really addresses that space.
No.
Exactly.
Right. No,
so the Founders Institute rolls into
Pittsburgh.
And
that's where we address.
You know what I also like, and Randy and I have spoken about this sort of offline as he started to cultivate, traction for this and the thinking, is that it's sort of almost like learning some good behaviors early on, some habits.
Right.
It's teaching people how to be founders.
Right.
Founders the correct way to start something.
Right. Instead of like, oh my gosh, I've been in this for like 2 years and here's all the things that I did.
Exactly.
And that's how it worked. You know what I'm saying? And just pull through the mud.
Definitely.
And we've not had those kinds of conversations or educational, I don't want to say classes, but opportunities for people to
engagement opportunities,
talk about what that looks like.
What I find really interesting is, and really helpful and gives a ton of credibility, is you guys know what it is to found companies. You've been in those positions. You know the realities of it. It sounds all great. I'm going to found a company. And, it's going to be great. It's going to be, and you can be like, yeah, it's great. But like, you got to be doing some basic blocking and tackling up front and kind of giving them the cold, hard truth.
Give us some advice right now.
So how many times do you, maybe one good example is Greg and I get this question all the time. Isn't starting companies really risky? Why do you do it? Isn't it scary? Why do you, how do you manage?
Exactly, right.
And so if you haven't been through the process, clearly it's a scary proposition. But if you do it right, especially customer discovery, the real early stuff, if you do it right and you find and you build the company around what you're learning in the market, it's not nearly as scary as
it's like, I have a solution. Why doesn't the whole world love this? Something is wrong with the whole world, but I have the best idea.
Just going to jump on that idea. The other one you get all the time is, I have this idea for X, or I have this idea. What do you think of it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know.
What do you want me to say?
Can you sign an NDA, though, before?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it is. So how about we start with, like, what problem are you solving?
I know, right.
And tell me why it's a problem. If we'll start there, maybe we can find out whether or not it's a good idea.
So in many ways, you're almost like therapist to a certain degree here.
Yeah, it's helpful.
There is the founder's couch.
The founder couch.
Where people can lay back
and
start.
Randy's house.
Okay. Well, now we know that.
So So people who are listening, what can they look forward to? So how does this, is this getting launched? What's happening in the next few months? What kinds of things can, who can be interested? All the good stuff that will help gain some traction.
Can we approach you?
Thank you, the two of you, for being partners in this.
Yeah. No, it's really great work.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's great work.
The things that are coming up, we have two more events. And then we jump into the class itself. So the first event is on the 27th, March 27th, and it's called Meet the Ecosystem Leaders.
Excellent.
Oh.
Just next week.
So
fantastic.
That's great.
You're about to be asked to come
that's
to the
great.
Event.
That's great. So March 27th.
We've not talked about it yet.
March 27th.
Enjoy
bring
being
your
there.
And bring your robe and your slippers.
So the
your
format
best couch
and tea from Dunkin' Donuts.
Donuts. Exactly.
The format of the so we've done 6 open to the public events, trying to help recruit,
right.
Get the word
yeah.
out.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And the format is basically show up 6:30 to 8 or so. And
in the morning?
At night.
No. This is the Founder Institute.
Yes.
Nothing starts at 6:30 a.m.
But it, like all of the, and we didn't mention this, but the Founder Institute is designed for people with day jobs. So
right, because you're assuming that I got a side gig going on. Right.
Content is online.
Like
and Founder Institute has created this content.
And what's the website? Online. You said it's online. What is the website?
It's fi.co.
Okay.
And we meet now with these events. And once the semester gets started, we meet every Tuesday from 6 to 9 p.m.
Ah.
And we talk. We have we have over 30 mentors now.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Terrific.
Everybody.
That's great.
We have 30 mentors, and we have a panel discussion every Tuesday on a very specific topic that, of course, coordinates with the online.
Right.
That's great.
Oh, very cool.
So that's how it's organized. But the 27th is Meet the Ecosystem Leaders, and then we have another event to really kick off the semester on April 3rd, where it's the mentors and the students.
And what's your capacity? How many folks can you handle?
30 to 40.
30 to 40 altogether. Yeah. We fill these slots. If you're out there listening, you got an idea for a company, and this could be any kind of a company. Or is it specific just to tech? Is it just anything out there that's like
high growth?
High growth,
Not services or bars or restaurants.
Right.
Gotcha.
But I'll tell you, the first several events that we held that we started in mid-January, it's been amazing. We've had 50 to 60 people show up at every event.
So you're seeing people, there's a need out there and people are just grabbing
on. Well, and the other thing is, as you mentioned, Jonathan, is, you know, Randy and I have been around town for a long time. Don't hold that against us. What was great about holding these events is not only was there great attendance and people were excited about various subjects, but most of the people we didn't know.
That's even better yet.
And so now we're bringing people into the ecosystem.
I love
that. People.
That I know, I love
this
that.
Is their first time that they, you know, they didn't know where to go.
Right.
And, you know, how do I start this? And, you know, and we're bringing them into this. So very exciting to start bringing people who want to try entrepreneurship out and learn what a founder is.
Definitely.
Talk real quickly about the benefit of being part of this 160-plus ecosystem that's outside of Pittsburgh. That's the piece that really... gets my heart.
Yeah, it isn't obvious at when you first think of it, but all of the chapters are all connected, and we each have over 30 mentors that are all CEOs or had been CEOs or mm-hmm. vertical industry experts, attorneys, accountants. But so think of 30 times 170.
Wow!
And now
starts growing.
And
yep.
now
right.
you have, and plus all of the CEO, all of the founders that have graduated over the last 9 years, you have an incredible
right.
ecosystem
community.
Just in itself, a community. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't obvious to me when at first, but I have phone calls every Monday, 10 a.m., with the world, literally with the world. And it is a fantastic experience to hear, of course, all the great accents, but to hear about somebody who is pitching their few new companies and the industries that they're in, and to find people that are experts
right.
in that industry anywhere in the world.
And
that's
what I loved about it.
So,
that's what really got
so
me.
It is an incredible community.
And it's a tested methodology.
And it goes on after graduation. It isn't just
for
during
sure.
graduation.
Right. So we've got a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
So what's the next steps then? I mean, obviously, this is the first time it's rolling up in Pittsburgh. So this is going to happen. How will you continue to grow this and make more of this happen?
Yeah, the plan is to do 2 cohorts a year.
Excellent.
Spring and a fall.
You're going to be busy. I just love hearing the fact you're seeing new people showing up to this thing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the Founder Institute started in 2009. And so while it's new to Pittsburgh, it's not a new methodology.
Exactly.
It's
proven. It's working
proven,
in other regions.
It's tested and works, as Randy said, all around the world.
Excellent.
And so getting access and providing this value here locally.
Love it.
Very exciting.
So fi.co.
FI.co.
Check it out.
It's great.
I'm really proud of you guys. Exactly. I couldn't think of 2 better people to run this thing. You guys, seriously. You guys
other than
gonna,
Jonathan
you know,
and I.
Other than Audrey and I. But, you know, we're busy doing the
That's
show on
we
Friday.
We were going to recommend. Wow.
Just
we
saying.
Really thought you guys would be perfect for this.
Thank you so much
so
for
show up
us.
On the 27th.
Sarcasm.
Perfect supporters, absolutely.
No, we love it, man. So glad you're doing what you're doing. Thank you for stopping by the show today. Once again,
thank you for having us. Great to be here.
Good stuff. Hey, another Tech Vibe Radio under the belt. I love ending on such a big positive note like this. I just love knowing there's such demand for people wanting to start companies.
I know.
In
you're going to have to go there and just bring your mobile field unit.
I know. And
just
grab some interviews and see who's out there. That would be so much
right?
fun. I love it. Great idea.
Great.
Anyhow, we're all out of time. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. 35 years helping tech companies succeed. That's what we do. We can't stop it. It's like a train. It's left the station. It's gone. It's going to keep doing what it's doing. This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Have an awesome weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.